Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Have you ever lived in another country? Looking around, a fair few of us have. When I left uni in Durham, it didn't seem very far to go up to Edinburgh to do my nurse training. On one of my first days on the wards, a wee old lady asked me if I could wash her wallies. Briefly glancing under the bed before I answered, I said that she was in hospital and didn't have her wellies with her. She gave me a somewhat exasperated look and repeated, "Could I wash her wellies?" whilst pointing at the bedside table to a glass which contained her false teeth. Who knew that false teeth in Scotland were called wallies? To misquote Spock from Star Trek, it's English, Jim, but not as we know it. And so it went on. Trips from Glasgow to Oban past countryside, the likes of which I had never seen. 280 odd peaks in Scotland, higher than 3,000 feet, called Munros, and people mad enough to try and climb them all. Further north in Sutherland, I learnt of the Highland clearances. 200 years ago, the English landlords decided it was more profitable to have sheep on their land than humans. And 70,000 Highland tenants were driven off their land down to the sea. And if they were lucky, they had a paid passage to America or Australia. The Duke of Sutherland at the time was the richest man in England, otherwise known as the Marquess of Stafford, who lived at Trentham, and never a mention of it in the history lessons of this English schoolgirl born in Staffordshire. My language, my assumptions, and my history of my people were all challenged, and all simply by moving to Scotland. In our Lent groups this year, we're following daily readings and prayers based on this book by Selina Stone called Tarry a While. Selina is the descendant of four African Caribbean grandparents who moved to Britain in the 1960s from Jamaica. The book grows out of Black spirituality and takes as its theme the Black Pentecostal practice of tarrying, waiting on God, spending long times in prayer. After the account of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, when in his anguish his disciples fell asleep, "Could you not watch with me? Could you not tarry?" Tarrying, says Selina, gives time for pondering the ways of God, provides space to confront our struggles, our humanity. So what has this got to do with Abraham and journeying? Selina describes the importance to her community, not just of what they believed, but how they lived those beliefs. Not just a passive sitting with Christ, but a journeying through life with God. And Abraham is a man on such a journey. Three verses struck me as I contemplated this passage. There's that tiny part of the verse 5 that says, they set out for the land of Canaan and they arrived there. This describing a group of people who have already trekked hundreds of miles to Haran and now hundreds more down to Egypt by the end of this passage. The promise that Nick preached on last week resulted in a journey of 1,000 miles. Abraham hears this voice telling him, calling him, nudging him to leave his father's homeland with all its familiarity, protection, belonging, and secure future. Abraham was called to do the uncommon, leave prosperity for the unknown. I've often thought of Abraham as a sort of shepherd with a collection of animals, wife and servants wandering along a country path. But Ur of the Chaldees, where he started out, was a mighty city. A place of beautiful palaces, temples, law courts. Ur of the Chaldees, that's Iraq to us. A little ironic, given the history of that region. From there, Abraham trekked 700 miles north to where our reading starts. This was no random wandering, but following the trade routes around the Fertile Crescent, that swathe of lush green land between the Tigris and the Euphrates, then on to Syria and all the way down to Egypt. What a journey. And all throughout Iraq and Syria and Lebanon, there are places where local tradition has it that Abraham rested, or fought a battle, or built an altar. And today, Israelis and Arabs, Muslims, Christians and Jews all claim Abraham as their patriarch. Christine Hayes, the Jewish Old Testament scholar, reminds us Old Testament writers were not trying to write history as we do. They weren't writing a chronological account of exactly how things happened. They were concerned to show us what they believed to be the finger of God in the events and experiences of the Israelite people. And so Christians today feel that finger of God in their journeys and life decisions. Selina's grandparents came to England in 1963 from Jamaica, African Caribbeans who claimed their British citizenship, pushed by lack of opportunities and no viable options to build their lives in Jamaica, and drawn by the promise of a new life, helping to build post-war Britain. That verse would apply to them. They set out for Britain and they arrived there. And yet, what emotions would be glossed over in that sentence? What highs and lows? What leaving and arriving? Things lost and things gained. And in the journeying, we are changed. Abraham and his descendants made mistakes, bartered with God, suffered the joys and sorrows of life, yet God was always present in the doing, in the moving, in the journeying, going before them, a belief that this was where God wanted them to be. And they in turn held an openness to God's unfolding plan. Not all of us have moved countries, and yet we all can tarry with God, journey with God, and see the finger of God in the events and experiences of our lives. The second verse that challenged me in those words that we read, at that time the Canaanites were in the land. And it made me ponder how the same sentence could have been written in 1948, when the state of Israel was established after the horrors of the Holocaust. At that time, the Palestinians were in the land. We know the Old Testament stories of battles and wars that follow, but Christine Hayes, and remember she's a Jewish scholar, reminds us that archaeologists struggle to find evidence of all the massive battles and glorious victories that we read of, and they find more evidence of settling down, intermarriage, mingling of communities than the story likes to admit. And perhaps that history would serve us better today in that region of the world than a God who simply wins battles for his people. In the West, we have had two great wars in the last century or so, where both sides prayed to the same Christian God for victory. Maybe that leaves us a little less confident of holy wars and lands given by divine decree. The background to Abraham's story is one of empire and domination. Peoples are either civilized or uncivilized. Violence was legitimized by the gods. And the church, unfortunately, through history, has done the same in countless times and places. I remember Anita many years ago telling of standing in a church in West Africa that had holding cells for slaves waiting to be deported in the basement. 10 to 12 million Africans forcibly taken from their homeland. Forced removal has been a repeated aspect of black community life that echoes into our present. Tarrying in Selina's book is the process where we stand with Christ in the midst of a painful world. Facing this reality whilst hoping for another. Her grandfather saw himself in Abraham of all the characters in the Bible, setting out from a far-off place to settle here for a better life. One set of Selina's grandparents stayed in England. The other set came full circle. They returned to Jamaica in the 80s. They had had enough of the weather, the racism, and the struggle, and they decided to go home. As we tarry in this place a while, may we seek to understand others on their journey and make this a place of welcoming here for them. Selina challenges us to think about how we contribute to the feelings of belonging or non-belonging for those around us. She describes how people on a journey belong in multiple places. They belong where they are and also where they have come from. And on return, they find they are not the people they were when they left. How has our faith changed our life journeys? And what are the ways our life journeys have shaped our faith? And as I contemplated these two verses, they set out for Canaan and they arrived there. And at that time, the Canaanites were in the land. A third verse struck me, the promise God made to Abraham, I will bless you. And what strikes me from this black spirituality that we're engaging with this Lent is a confidence that despite the rigors and challenges of the journey, we are blessed. In the Western world, where we are constantly enticed by the next great thing, do we feel God's blessing in our lives? Do we stop and notice that blessing? Feeling beloved and cherished by God. Last week, Nigel and I were in London to see ABBA Voyage, a great show if ever you get the chance to see it. Before the show, we went for a meal in a bar close by. And when we came to pay, the waiter said our bill had been paid by the man who sat at the nearby table. We hadn't chatted to the couple, we'd merely looked up and smiled as they sat down. The waiter had checked all the things we'd had, and yet the man insisted he would like to pay. He had paid it forward, a practice that is growing perhaps more among younger people than older. My friend's daughter was standing in the queue buying a coffee at McDonald's with a rather fractious toddler when a man behind her said to the girl on the till, "That one's on me." Perhaps it's the younger generation who can show us something of the generous giving of God. Giving with nothing in return. The extravagant, unconditional love of God. Not based on any worth, not looking for anything in return. Do we recognize that gracious giving? I will bless you, for we are indeed blessed. Amen. Please be seated. So I thought maybe today it was really important to speak to someone who has been and is on the sort of journey that we started talking about. So Chiamaka has very bravely decided to come and stand here and tell us a bit about hers and Hugo's journey. Can you tell us a bit about Nigeria, first of all?
Okay. Hello, everybody. My name is Chiamaka. I'm from the eastern part of Nigeria. Yeah, and Nigeria, my home country.